The title of the message this morning is A Day of Remembrance. As we are in the Memorial Weekend, we know that tomorrow will be a special day for many as we gather with family. But we also know that there will be many that are reflecting back on those that they have lost, those that have served in our armed forces in the military, who have given their lives in service to not only their fellow soldiers, but also to their country. And that is something that I believe is as well worth our respect and thought. You know, when we look at wars and the politics that seems to surround it, sometimes it can get very confusing, doesn't it? In fact, even those that are called to go do not get the, I guess you would say, the choice of making any of those decisions. But when they are given in the military, they go, right? That's their job. And so sometimes I have seen, and I know that even in our history, that many of our servicemen and women have been looked down upon because of many of the things that surround it. Well, the reality is I'm thankful for those that have fought because I enjoy the freedoms that they defended, right? And so I simply try to set aside the things that I cannot control, but I give thanks and I show gratitude for those that have given the ultimate sacrifice that we might enjoy the freedom to stand here today and speak freely, to share the gospel freely, without persecution, without difficulty. Now, will that always stay the same? I guess that's up to us to an extent. Freedom can be given, but it must be maintained. We can't grow complacent and just assume that it will stay here. The freedoms that we have is dependent upon how each and every generation will handle that freedom and how that they will protect it. And I hope that this will be a challenge to all of us today. But you know, when we look at those that have served our country, I am thankful for them, but also the families that have made sacrifices as well. There are some that will be thinking of loved ones that have gone, parents, spouse, children, whatever it may be. They also have made a sacrifice as a family. And so I hope that our prayers and our hearts will be with them during this time of the season and during this time of remembrance. Well, as we get into the book of Joshua chapter 4, we're coming here because Joshua was guided by God to set up a memorial. Now, it's going to look different than some of the memorials that we have today, but you know, all throughout our country, we have many memorials that have been set up. In fact, a memorial is something that is a sign or a cause that has evoked a memory that needs to be remembered. Sometimes it is a epic event, sometimes representing an event or a person, but we set up a memorial that we might remember what has happened here. Now, the memorial will lose its effect or will lose its significance if we forget the purpose of that memorial, right? Now, I know that seems to be so obvious, but yet we live in a day and age that it's so quick and easy to overlook those things because they're history. My grandpa made a statement that when I was younger, and he was right. When I was younger, history really wasn't that important to me. Well, it was important. I didn't make it important. How's that? That's a little more accurate. But he made a statement. He said, "You watch, the older you get, the more important it will be to you." That old-fashioned stuff. What am I going to worry about that? Well, guess what? That's me. Now it does. Why is that? Because we realize that as we grow and as we mature, where we have been and where we have come from is very important. Amen? Because that gives us a better understanding of who we are. But more than that, it gives us an understanding and a better standing of where we're going, right? And so when we talk about memorials, this is really what we're talking about, is that these things are somewhat direction markers throughout history, right? It tells us a great deal about ourselves as a people, as a nation. In fact, you can kind of look around here and there are little plaques that memorialize items and things that have been donated in the memory of those that have been members here at Lindsay Lane from years past to memorialize their service to the Lord. So many of these things come with a reason. They come for a purpose. And yet if we forget that purpose, then we have missed out on the importance of it. Now when we talk about memorials, sometimes we just automatically think of a structure. We think of a building. We think of an item. But yet we see in Scripture that even the name, the very name of God, was memorialized. Why? Because of the great importance of it, right? It says, "Yes, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you." That's Isaiah 26. And then he also says that also the law of the Lord, it shall be as a sign to you on your right hand, as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. Even the word of God. Now, at this time, it was the law, okay? In fact, it was the Torah, the books of Moses that he was referring to here. But it was something that in Exodus, he was saying that the word of God was wore upon them. In fact, he even would put it upon their forehead. Why? Why would we be so eccentric? Because of the importance of God's law. The importance that it brought, the direction that they needed in order to be a godly people. And if they fail to recognize the importance of that, then obviously they miss the importance of who God is. Amen? And so that's the whole crux, if you will, is that this memorial will lead us to a place that it's not just information that we're containing. Now, I know that some of you are very good with facts, and you can remember all those statistics and things like that, and those are interesting and valuable to make the history and the background so colorful, but yet, if it's just information that is floating around in our minds today, and it doesn't become a heart matter and change who we are today, then the memorial has lost its purpose. Are you with me? It's almost like that we have heard, and when we talk about those in our military and those that have given our lives, that I've even noticed that it's even a offensive thing on a memorial day that if we recognize those that are serving now without first recognizing those who have served and given their life. Why? Because the respect and the honor goes to those who paid the ultimate sacrifice first, right? And then we recognize those that are serving. Why? Because they hold a very close, guarded honor for one another, right? Rightfully so. And they want us to see that respect and honor that they have for one another. And so when we come to God's Word, we find out God's guiding us in the same way. That those things that are most precious, those things that are most important, it's easy. You know what? I have to admit to you. When we had this sound system going and it was going in, I was like a little kid around here. I probably bugged the guys to death, but I was helping them do this and that. But just watching them put it all in, man, I'm telling you that soundboard that's up there, I think I seen it on the Starship Enterprise on a movie one time. It's insane. And I looked at that, it's like, man, I'm glad you guys are running this and not me. It is amazing. But you know what? All of this, the price tag wasn't small, was it? But the significance of this, one day, newness will wear off, won't it? A number of years, it'll be an old system. Oh, I cringe to even think about that, don't you? But what will never grow old? The same message. The gospel. The cross. A loving Savior that will never leave you, never forsake you. That is going to guide you in all things. That'll never grow old. Why? Because It's memorialized. It has changed the world. It has changed all things. In fact, I am a person that has been changed by the very gospel message himself. Can you say that? Amen. And so as we see Joshua leading the children of Israel, we know that it is after a time that Moses is gone now. God begins to pour in. We see in chapter 3, he says, I'm going to pour into you. I'm going to exalt you before the people that they will fear you the same way that they feared Moses. Now, does that mean they're going to make him mean? No. It's that God instills within Joshua a leadership character, if you will, in the very spirit of God, that they would respect him as the leader and as a spokesman for God. And as he guides them, that they'll follow. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. This is an exciting day. You realize they just watched all of their parents, the older generation before them. The last one has finally passed and been laid to rest in the desert. You know why? Because that generation had been there before, had just been there before and refused to go in. Now the younger generation is coming in, and now they have the opportunity to go into the promised land, and it's an exciting day. It's an exciting time. And when they come, they find the Jordan River in flood stage. Now things just got interesting, right? How are we going to get in? How are we going to be faithful? How are we going to follow through with what God has promised? Well, God has an answer, right? Let's read in Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4, beginning of verse 1. And it came to pass, and when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you, and leave them in a lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. You know, as we look in the scriptures here, we find that they have crossed over. The Lord has already provided a way and made a way, and that it was a leading of the Ark. You know, this had to be an exciting thing. We try to steer away from the physical idols and the physical things. And so to actually have a golden box that was made out of wood, overlaid with gold, and then we see the cherubims laying on top and they're kneeling towards one another, and their wings come together, forming a seat upon the ark of God, and that when that ark was placed into the tabernacle, into the holiest of holies, there were segmented places. There was an outer court, and then there was a passing into the first opening was the holies, and this is where the showbread was and the burning of the incense and the candle. The candles that were burning there, the oil lamps that were burning there, and all of these things. But then there was one other room with a very heavy, multi-layered curtain that no light could ever pass through, was called the Holiest of Holies. And this ark rested in that room. And that when it was there, the very Shekinah glory of God, the very presence of God, came down from heaven and rested upon that ark. It was a powerful resolve that God was with Israel. Do you see that? And we see throughout Scripture in the Old Testament that when the ark come out, things happen, right? Things happen. And so as they're traveling, the tabernacle and all has been packed up. They're all moving, going into the land of Canaan. Joshua's organized 40,000. I forget, I think it was Manasseh, Gad, and there's another one. And they were all sent ahead. And they're gonna secure everything. But then it says, now when the ark's getting ready to go, you give them room. Give the priest room. And so the priest would carry the ark out into the Jordan River. Now, I want you to get this because of scriptures. This is exciting to me. That often we want to follow the Lord, but Lord, I want to see the whole plan. I want to know where I'm going. I want to know what it's like. Is the temperature going to be just right when I get there? Will they have the air conditioner on? Will I have a seat? You know, I want to know everything before I get there. But in this situation, we see that the priests that were bearing the ark walked up to the Jordan in flood stage, and we didn't see anything happen until they were about ready to place their foot into the Jordan River. And then all of a sudden, the river just begins to back up. Now, with all the rain that we've had, we can imagine backed up water, can you? But this wasn't a small thing. Some would think that, oh, this is just a little thing that just happened right here. No, because we find out that when they get into Jericho, the spies go in. Rahab says, we know that your God is with you because we know what he did to the Jordan. And their hearts melt with fear because of your God. Isn't that exciting? When God shows up, he provides. And this is a glorious day. They've been longing and desiring to get. This is the same. There's so many parallels as we watch them wandering through the wilderness. There's so many parallels of the Christian life going home. So I want you to think, this was kind of a going home without the dying part. That's a good thing, right? That sounds even better. And so they're getting ready to go in, and God, he splits the Jordan River wide open, just like he did in the Red Sea. Now, how is it that we know that he did that in the Red Sea? Because Moses sang a song about it. They sang a song, they memorialized it as well. And so they taught their children is that we know what to expect. We expect great things. And so number one, we say, memorials will help us, how? To remember where we have been and where we have come from. You know what, as a child of God, we can look back and say, God, there was so much that you should have done to me, but yet you love me anyway. Can you relate? When we look at God's grace, when we first come to him, we realize that, oh, I feel so guilty, I struggle so much, and I don't think God would ever forgive me. And we look in the scriptures, and over, we see he loves us, he's going to forgive us, he's already made provision for us that we might be saved. And once he does, we still can't fathom and understand, why in the world would God love me like this? And we spend the rest of our lives growing in it, amen? And so once we know where we have came from, it gives us a clear understanding of our standing with God. That is by his grace. And it's always by his grace. And it will finish by his grace. Amen? The weight has been lifted and he bears it all. And all he asks us is to come and follow him. In Deuteronomy, he says, if you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I. How can I dispose them? You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt. You know, as God's people, we travel from day to day. We face difficulties. We face problems that seem way too big for us to handle. Temptations that just seem to break us down over and over. That seem to win over and over. And yet we say, how is it that we can do these things? How is it that we can overcome? And God reminds us the same God that is working in you today is the same God that's delivered Israel out of Egypt, has delivered them out of the hand, the same God that divided the Red Sea, that divided the Jordan River. Whoever it may be, whatever it needs to be done, this God is able. Amen? He is able. So when we look back, and sometimes we get into a time of difficulty and we think that, well, maybe I have just completely failed the Lord. We go right back to the source and say, God, I may have failed. I'll continue to fail, but I know that you won't. Amen? And I know that when I knelt before the cross and I realized my sinful condition that I come to you, I had nothing to offer. I still have nothing to offer, but all I have is you, Christ. And we realize that's all we need. And we simply return once again. But you know what? When we understand where we've been, where we come from, it gives us a biblical perspective of how we will continue. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 17 through 18, "You shall not pervert justice, do the stranger or the fatherless, nor take a widow's garment as a pledge. But you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore I command you to do this thing." You know, as he was reminding them, he said, look, you're going to be loving. You're going to be receiving. You're going to be gracious. Why? Because I was gracious to you. You've been in the same place that they have been. Folks, I'm telling you what, if you don't have the capacity to love lost people, then I'm questioning whether or not you've been lost before. Now, I say that sarcastically because for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when we realize our sinful condition, we look at others and say, I'm not here because I deserve it. I'm here because of a great Savior that loves me, and He loves you too. Even the ones that we don't like. Even the ones that we might be afraid of. Even the ones that just seem to really get under our skin. Guess what? You're a sinner as well. Do you remember what God has done for you? Do you remember what Christ has done and how He has delivered you? Do you see the joys and the blessing of our heart and mind that it would not only that you can go back to, that you would use as a changing of our heart and mind, that it would not allow us to pervert justice? It wouldn't pervert our view of others, that we would come to a place that we might think that we're better than or greater than, but that we realize that we're full with others, that they might come and know life. Does it help us to know our past? I'm convinced it does. Number two. Memorials will help us be reminded that all things are possible with God. Let's read Joshua chapter 4, verses 19 through 24. Verse 19 through 24, he says, "Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." You see, this great miracle, this great day, became a testimony not only to those that are lost, but also to those who are following God. It is a reminder of His power. It is a reminder that He is in control. It is a reminder that when we follow, He'll never leave us out on a limb, nowhere else to go. Do you often find that when we are fearing a decision or fearing making the next step, that we think that, well, what if it doesn't work out? You know, I hate to admit that there are times that I ask that question myself, and yet I'm asking of a God that can do all things, what if it doesn't work out? Is that even a relevant question? Am I questioning Him? Unfortunately, the doubt that comes hinders us from faithfulness at times, amen? They come to the river, and God made a way. One of the verses in Isaiah 46, verse 8 and 9. He says, "Remember this and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Who else can say that? No one. But I want you to read this again with me. We're going to read it in the NIV. Because they use in the New King James, you use as show yourselves men. Well, at first you might be thinking, okay, what does that mean? Well, in the NIV, it kind of breaks it down a little bit more. Remember this. Keep it in mind. Memorialize it in your mind. Take it to heart. That's what it means by being a man. Make it action. Not just a memory, but act upon it. He says, keep it in mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. What good is it that we remember these things and just keep it as information and then not act upon it? What good is a memorial if we don't allow it to shape us and guide us and conform us to the image of Christ? Amen? What good is your personal devotion in the memorialized Word of God if it never makes a change? What good is your time in prayer if it doesn't move you to a point that I'm tired of praying for my brother? I'm going to go knock on his door and I'm going to see what he needs today. And I'm going to pray with him and I'm going to encourage him, whatever it may be. What good is it then when we look back and thinking that there's just simply that nothing I can do? It's not about what we can do, but it's about what God has already done, has already proven, and is waiting today to do even more through faithfulness of just submitting ourselves to him. Are you ready? It would almost be like those that we call to the military. And they say, you know, I would love to defend my family and my country. But you know what? When people go there, they die. I don't really want to do that. Wouldn't that be ridiculous in our own faith? And say, you know, I'd love to follow the Lord. But you know, years ago, I made a mistake. And I'm afraid I'll make another mistake. So I'm just going to stay right here. How heartbreaking that would be. Could you imagine that the Jordan is split wide open and all they had to do was cross, and some of them say, well, you know, I'm just not so sure he can hold the water back long enough that I can get across. And stay on the other side? Why? We've already seen God work, haven't we? We've already seen the cross. We've already seen the results. We've already seen the possibilities. But yet we still have yet to see so much more. Amen? Does it help us to see the past? Does it help us to remember what he's done in the past? Folks, I think that this is something, and those of you that are elders, you just got to bear with me because my kids are accusing me of the same thing already. We like to tell the same stories, don't we? I didn't realize I was doing it. My kids are like, you always tell us the same story. Well, it's a good one, okay? You watch the same movie over and over. Why can't I tell the story the same? It's made a difference in my life. It's something that I can glorify God for, and I want my children to know that. But you know what? There's elders that are around here, and they'll corner you. Now, elders, you keep doing it. This is not a call for you to stop. I'm telling you to keep doing it. They'll corner you, and you may hear the same story that you heard last week. You know why? Because you need to hear it. You need to hear how God is working in and through their lives. Why? Because one day you're going to be faced with a trial, and brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so is going to come to mind. I remember when they talked about what God did in their life. God, I'm asking you to do something great in my life today, like you did in my brother or my sister. Why? Because we've heard. We've heard what God can do. You know, I enjoyed hearing so often from our elders of how it was in their worship service. And then sometimes we think that, wow, we kind of missed something. We're missing something. What is that? And it gives you a hunger to dig deeper. Amen? But if we don't hear of what God has done, we don't hear what God is able to do, then we just sit back in complacency and say, well, I guess this is all that there is able and willing yet to do, and we haven't even just given him an opportunity to have those victories in our own personal life. Folks, those who take it to heart, those who keep it in mind, and those who turn away. That's why he calls them rebels in the book of Isaiah there. He's calling them rebels because they have been completely given over to idols. And now they're beginning to suffer because of it, because the idols can't do anything for them. And they've turned away from the Lord, and now they're starting to reap what they've sown all of these years, and now they're finding that everything is terrible. It's difficult, and they're crying out to God and say, I told you to turn away from them because they're not gods, but I am. So when you come right. You come rightly. You come by my law. You come by my word. You come in the way that I have established, and when you come, I'll do what no one else can do. Amen? I'll heal you in a way that no one else can. I'll make possible what you could never make possible. And yet, I am God, he says. Now, I'm pointing at me. I'm talking about God, okay? Don't get this mixed up. He says, I'm the only one. How do we know that he is? Because we have seen and heard the testimonies of those who have gone before. And Joshua says, look, when your children see these rocks, you know, I got to thinking about Joshua. I don't like canned presentations, do you? When somebody just comes and they are able to recite, just give you a sales pitch. I call it a canned presentation. Anybody can do it. You just say these words. But in a way, when I watch Joshua, he says, when they ask you, this is what I want you to say. It intrigued me just a little bit. Why was he so specific? Because he didn't want any errors in the message that's going to be handed down. The value of this memorial, the importance of this memorial, can be ingrained into the hearts and minds of future generations that will guide the nation as a whole. And folks, the guiding of God's hand upon the nation of Israel brought us the Savior, the Lord Jesus, today. Are you with me? So obedience and accuracy was important, not to the point that it was just simply that only what he would say, the only way it could be said, but that it was said rightly, and that God was put to the forefront, and that everything else that didn't have the meaning couldn't take place or interfere with what God had done and accomplished that day. And so he says, when your children ask, what are these stones? You tell them that God opened the Jordan, and we walked across on dry land. You know, we talk about how great God is and how that he is able to manipulate and how that he is able to move nature. But yet all at the same time, we watch him moving against nature, right? He can do any and all that is necessary for faithfulness of his people. Nothing could separate. Now I want you to think about something. As they crossed the Jordan, the instruction that Joshua gave was given by God. This wasn't Joshua's idea. This was God's idea to build a memorial. And he instructed them. Now I want to remind you that you'll read in the chapters around, you get all the details that the priests were to go into the river first, and then as the waters backed up, they would walk out, and they went into the middle of the Jordan, and they stood there. Now, I don't know about you, but that was a long haul. These guys had to bear the ark on poles, on their shoulders, the whole time. Now, this wasn't a congregation of about 100 people. We're talking millions that we're walking across. So we're talking a day's ordeal here. Not just a 10-minute crossing and we're done. We're talking all day. And they stood in the middle of that river. But they had to go out first, and they had to wait until the time was correct. Waiting on God to do his part. You know what? There's times that we get excited about those memorials. We get excited about what God's going to do. And then we want to run in first. But sometimes we got to calmly wait for God's timing. How do we know that? Because we hear that from those who have shared. That's why you sit and listen to the things you don't want to hear as well as the things you do want to hear. Because guess what? We need to hear them. But as they went, Joshua said, I've selected one from each tribe. You pick up a rock. Now, they didn't just bend over and pick up a little pebble and stick it in their pocket. They picked up a substantial rock, hoisted it on their shoulder, and walked out with it. Wouldn't that present a lot of questions to the kids? The river goes back, and they don't see it split open. And how did they go out there and dive in the water and get that big of a rock up? Well, they didn't have to dive because God made it all dry land. Oh, that's impossible. No, not with God. With man, yes, but with God. All the great stories that would go on, the great things that would go on that we would see and know and understand, it begins to stretch the minds of the imagination of the young to seek the Lord in ways that they hadn't thought was possible and maybe even exceed us in our generation. Amen? Isn't that the goal? Isn't that the dream? That they would also know the Lord, but even in a greater way. Number three. These memorials will remind us that we might remember where God is taking us. In Joshua chapter 4, verse 10, he says, so the priest who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua, and the people hurried and crossed over. Then it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over, that the ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in the presence of the people. And the men of Reuben, the men of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh crossed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 prepared for war crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. Now when we look at this, I wanted us to remember they were going to a promised land. But guess what? They had to claim it. This was one of the sticking points. They did so well in the crossing. They did so well in the faithfulness. But when they went into the land, they only partially conquered those that were there. Moses had instructed you go in and you clear out the inhabitants. You dominate everything. You destroy the high places. You destroy the idols. And you take everyone out. And all of this seems very harsh. Well, why is it? When you trace in the Old Testament, all of these nations were given an opportunity to repent and come right with the Lord. And now God was pronouncing his righteous judgment upon these nations, and he was using Israel to do so. Israel wasn't going in hatefully, overpowering, and brutally murdering, but it was the exercising of God's righteous judgment upon these nations. And as they went in, they didn't fully fulfill what he asked them to do. But here's the point. They were to go and do battle, to claim what God had provided for them. Folks, as God's people, we're in a battle today, amen? We are in a spiritual battle. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. He says, therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So where are we going? We're going to the promised land. God is going to make that possible. God is going to guide us. But it's very easy to get distracted with all the distractions of the world today, isn't it? It's easy to get distracted until we see a memorial once again in God's word. Oh yes, I'm to be battling, not intermingling. Amen? Those who love the world are at enmity with God. That's a reminder, isn't it? Why is that? Because God does not want us to be punished with the world, but that he has set us apart, that we might live sanctified, holy unto him. Amen? Richer are the lives who take the time to hear the lessons of memorials who have been set before us in God's word, to deepen our faith, enrich our understanding of God, and to stretch our spirit. Jude chapter 1, verse 17 through 21. Not only are we striving to do battle, are we striving spiritually to continue to grow, but we are also to defend the word and the truth of God's word. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time, who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in love, in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I want to ask you today, do you have memorials in your life? Do you have times and places that you can go and say, there's times that I doubt the Lord, but right here, I know that He was here. I know that He delivered me. I know that He called out to me at a time that I wasn't listening. I was running, I was preoccupied, and even suffering as a consequence of my own actions, but yet He called out to me, and He restored me once again and brought me in closer than I'd ever been before. Do you have those memorials and times and places that God has intervened in your life? My next question is, do you communicate those to your children, your grandchildren? Are you teaching them to keep their ears open and be looking and watching for what God can and is desiring to do in their lives? As our musicians are going to come forward today, I want to leave you with one more challenge. As you are examining your life and going back in time and searching, well, Lord, what are those memorials? What are some of those that maybe we have even forgotten, Lord? Refresh our hearts, refresh our minds, that we may act today based upon your power and your will, that we might be faithful. One other thing is tomorrow. I ask that you'll take a moment of prayer and pray for those that have sacrificed. We have many that have given their lives, but also we have families that have let go of those loved ones as well. And I think it would be a great, commendable thing that we give back to those in prayer. That we lift them up in prayer. We ask the Lord to encourage them, to help them along in the difficulties that they're facing. Because as many may be barbecuing and having a great time, there will be some families they're just quietly sitting together trying to get through another holiday season. Would you lift them up in prayer tomorrow? Would you make that a commitment as a church that will do that for those who have given so much already? Let's stand this morning. What are the memorials in your life today? Are you giving it the attention? Are you giving it the education that it so deserves? And more than that, is it making you what you need to be and what God desires us to be as His church and as His people?